certainly thank Brother Randall for the prayer he offered publicly on our behalf and for the service that we had at this point this morning, and certainly would ask in continuation of your prayer that God would be merciful to us, God would be merciful to this nation. You know, the subject on my mind this morning is something that I've preached on before and I've thought on a lot, and in this day and age, I think on it even quite more. The truth. Is the truth important? You know, I believe there are some folks that go to different places to worship under the guise of Christianity that believe they have the truth. We certainly believe we have the truth here, but the truth comes from God. It doesn't come from man. And it's digging deep into the Word of God that God blesses a man and enlightens him and reveals that truth to him. You know, there are those who believe that they have a part in their eternal salvation. They believe that, as we heard not long ago from a man, that they're their own judge and that they're their own choice. Ultimately, what someone in that state says is they're their own God. In other words, you've got the same level of power that the Lord Jesus Christ had. If salvation is left up to you, if it's in your hands, then you're more of a savior than Jesus Christ was. If he came and died for you, and yet it's got to be by a certain amount of works that you do, if you've got to be baptized, if you've got to be done, anything that you've got to do as a means to finish or complete that salvation, then Jesus Christ is not the Savior you are. And that's against the total teachings of Scripture. But that's where you place yourself. You know, I thought about this, and one of the problems even among God's people are the first commandment given on Mount Sinai was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." One of the age-old problems with men are they want to be their own God. We all have a little bit of that problem, don't we? When we set up idols in our life, we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, in the way we want to do it. And when we deny the power of Almighty God to transform our lives, friends, we set up an idol in our mind and we've made ourselves a God on the level of the only true and living God, whether you realize that's what you've done or not. Now, I want to get back before we get into any of those things and begin to talk about the truth. Some people don't care about the truth. They assemble themselves because somebody else goes there. They assemble themselves because they like the social atmosphere in that particular place. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you enter the house of God, you need to be there for one purpose, and that's to worship God. We enjoy the fringe benefits of our fellowship. That's something that we do enjoy, and it is a blessing from God. But I'll assure you that our eyes and our focus need to be upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in the house of God, but in your house you live in. In your workplace, and in everything that you do, because everything that you have comes from God. I thought in the prayer that Brother Randall spoke this morning, it drove my thoughts to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, which is not where I'm going to go, but it says, basically the theme there is what happens to a nation that forgets God. But as Randall said in his prayer, we have enjoyed the great benefits and the great blessings from the generations that lived before us. I tell you, that teaching is taught throughout. It said they crossed over, the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land. The vineyards were already there. Everything they stood in need of was already there. Their bellies were full. They increased their herds. They built great houses. And I'm paraphrasing this just to get through it. But I tell you what God said to them. He said, "As I destroyed the enemy before you when you crossed over, if you ever forget the Lord thy God, I will destroy you like unto them." Do you believe that? That's the truth, whether you believe it or not. That's truth. And that applies to you and I today. The truth is important. A lot of people don't understand the truth. They don't seek the truth. Many of them don't care about the truth. Is the truth important to you? I believe it ought to be. We're told in Deuteronomy 32 and 4, He is the rock, His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. God is truth. He is truth. The only true and living God is truth. Jesus, when He prayed in John chapter 17, the prayer of the high priestly prayer unto the Father, right before He was to leave and be crucified and depart from this place, through that terrible death that He went through, He prayed, sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to know where the word or the truth of God rests? It rests in His sovereign word. It rests in scriptures. Now, do I understand every truth in there? No, I don't. I don't think any man, none of us are infallible. We're all fallible. So there's none of us that can claim 100% knowledge of the truth. But I tell you, the truth is important. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If the truth is not important, and seeking the truth, and studying to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If truth's not important, why is it spoken of so much in God's word? It is important. And we're going to understand why it's important here in just a few moments. You know, there's an interesting verse over in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, in the 23rd verse. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. Now, most people would say, well, how do you buy the truth? Well, if you study that out, you'll find out that the word buy means to procure or attain the truth. To sell it means not to surrender it. In other words, when you attain the truth, when you procure the truth, never surrender the truth. It's that valuable. It's that needful. In 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter said, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. He said, even though you know them and you're established in the present truth. In other words, he said, I'm going to continue to preach these things over and over to you because truth is important. It's necessary. It is. It's very important. And I think we'll see why it's so important, hopefully, Lord willing, here in just a little bit. Is it so we and all be smarter and we can have arguments with other folks and put them down? No. Honestly, when we understand the truth, there's something it gives us. Let's go for just a second to John chapter 8 and listen to the words of Jesus when it concerns the truth. You know, we ought to be seeking the truth. If we don't know the truth, we ought to seek the truth. You know, there are folks in this world who'll tell you what they believe entirely based on what they heard. You're putting a lot of credit in a man when you believe only because of what you heard. When you didn't go back and study it out and factually find that for your own self, you're taking a lot of credit based upon what some man has taught you. In John chapter 8, we read in verse, in verse 30, as He spoke these words, many believed on Him. Now, He was speaking to the Jews in John chapter 8. And there were many of them that believed on Him, but there were a great number of them that did not believe on Him. Now, that's an interesting subject we could go with for a little while, but, you know, why did some of them believe and why did some of them not believe? Well, I think John 5 and 25 answers that question. Verily, verily, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That verse has nothing to do with the resurrection. Verse 28, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. He's talking about when God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, speaks His life-giving voice into your heart and into your soul, and you become alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that He speaks to will come alive. They will be willing in the day of His power. That's the power that God has. You know, we all claim that, or many claim in the Christian community, that you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'll tell you what, I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. I do find in Scripture, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Be thankful that God accepted you in the beloved. That's the truth. You didn't accept Him. You know, as we was preaching here for about a month on the early church in the book of Acts, it said that the brethren then continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine in chapter 2. In other words, their personal preferences did not rise above the teachings of the apostles, the instructions of the apostles. You know, I made a statement, and I hold to it to this day, that man's preference has always been the cause of the split from the very beginning in the churches. Man decided he had a better way. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Man wants to do things according to his way. For Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Man did not prefer what God told him, what Paul taught him there. Man says, we ought to all have a chance. God ought to love all people. Things began to split off as time went on. Error entered into the church. But at that time in the early church, in an extraordinary time, they were steadfast in the teachings and the instructions of the apostles. The truth was important. They had such a vision of Christ when Peter preached to them on the day of Pentecost and told them that they had put their Lord to death. They were so pricked in the heart that I tell you what, truth was the most important thing to them. That they could hear any time. They never allowed their personal preference to rise above the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. We go to back over here in chapter 8. Let's finish where we was at. Then said Jesus to those Jews in verse 31, which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. A disciple is someone who learns, someone who is taught. I tell you right now, I believe through meditation of the scriptures, through careful meditated prayer, if we're honest to read those scriptures, then God will enlighten us to many truths that we don't know today. And I believe that's what happened. We don't just wake up one morning and have the truth, especially if you've never heard the truth. It's through study. You know, the Berean brethren, we all know about them. They were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they heard the word with all readiness of mind. These were a people who prepared to go to the house of the Lord and hear the Lord's word preached, the gospel preached. They were prepared. They were ready. They had all readiness of mind. I tell you today, are we ready to hear the gospel preached? Do we pray before we come to the house of the Lord? Do we pray all week for the service that God would touch our hearts and apply his grace in our hearts that we might have a greater understanding of his truths? That's what these brethren were. That's why they were noble at Thessalonica. You know, right after that statement was made, well, we'll get that. I want to get that in here in a minute. But it says that they were more noble than those at Thessalonica, and that they come to the house of God. They heard the word with all readiness of mind, but it said they search the scriptures daily whether those things be so. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want God's truth, don't take what I say. Don't take what any other preacher claims to be the truth. First of all, that's the easy way out. That means I don't have to pick up my Bible and dust the dust off of it. And I don't have to read it, and I don't have to find out if what the man told me is the truth. I tell you, God's word is truth. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth 7 times. That word 7 carries the meaning of completion. God's word is complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's all that we need. It instructs us in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. That's what this book's for. But if we're not using it, if we're just taking heed to what some man says, I tell you what, we can be led astray like you wouldn't believe. We really can. We see people that want to worship, and they follow cults. And you see all kinds of things they do. They believe. Study. Study God's word. Seek the truth. Dig deep into his word. Rightly divide the word of truth. That means you can wrongly divide it. There's no question about it. Truth is important. Buy the truth, attain the truth, and do not surrender it. You know, I've heard people say, well, they left the old Baptist church and they didn't hear the truth preached for many, many years. And you know what? They forgot it. I've heard people say, if you depart from the truth, the Lord will take it from you. I'm not sure that isn't true. You know, when Peter said, I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance, he said, I preach the truth to you this time. I'm going to preach it to you again. I'm going to keep preaching it to you. That tells me that we as a people are very forgetful, usually faster than we believe. Truth's important. Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth. If God is a truth without iniquity, if God is truth and without iniquity, then why shouldn't truth be extremely important to you and I? It should be. It should make a difference in our lives. It should make a difference in all that we do. Paul told the brethren in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, there will come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine. I believe we're living in that time, and it's amazing that Paul told Timothy that this would likely happen in his time. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from the truth. Do you think anybody today has turned away from the truth? You know, we live in a society today that tells you just love the Lord and follow Jesus Christ, and that's all you need to do. They don't need any doctrine. They don't need any truth. But the Word of God tells me that truth is extremely important. And like I said, hopefully we'll get to that in just a minute. He told Timothy, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season. Preach the truth. Preach the truth when people are not listening. And I think we might be in that day today too. When they're not interested. You know, I talked about apathy. Somebody asked me what apathy was. It's a lack of interest, a lack of concern, and a lack of excitement. God's people, many of them, are not interested in the Lord anymore. They're interested in the world. They come to the house of God interested in what they can get out of it. Truth is not important to them. They're not concerned, because I'll tell you what's on your mind and what's important to you in life, you'll be concerned about. That's where your concerns will be. If it's your family, if it's your work, if it's your job, whatever important to you, you'll be concerned about. If God and God's people are not important to you, you'll lose all concern for them. You'll lose all interest in them. And I'll tell you, you won't have any excitement or zeal for it. This is things that are not new to the church of God, but it's things that we see today. And I tell you today, truth is important. We're told over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that the house of the Lord, it is the pillar and ground of truth. If Jesus Christ is the rock, if he is the truth, then you and I are the pillars. Did you know that? Pillar means to uphold the truth. Are we upholding God's truth? Or does it just not matter anymore? That's what the world will tell you. Just follow God, just love Jesus, and that's all that matters. Well, we ought to follow God and we ought to love Jesus, but I'll tell you right now, the truth's important. It's important. And we ought to know the truth. It's important in our eternal salvation. I believe that is one of the most important parts, because if we understand it, it is the only truth. It gives God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We'll look at that here in just a minute. Jesus said back in John chapter 8, he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. Free from fear. Free from bondage. We have not been given the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. How many people do you know that have lived their entire life in fear of whether or not they're going to heaven? They've been taught that they've got to do some type of work. They've got to make some kind of decision. They've got to persevere. I'm going to tell you, there's not a one of us in this church or any other denomination that can persevere. There's only one that persevered, and he's still persevering, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll bring everyone that he died for home to glory with him. Not a one will fail to be there. It won't matter where they were baptized into a certain church. It won't matter what they done. It won't matter if they accepted him. You know, man has always wanted to be in control, but thanks be to God, according to his sovereign grace, he was in control. We find that in the Gospel of John. It's a much different gospel than the other three. It's what they call more spiritual or theological. And it begins because there were those who claimed that Jesus Christ was the highest being ever created. You believe that? They're declaring that he did not exist before he was created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. That Word was capitalized because it's the second person in the Trinity. All things were made by him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. And the Word was made flesh in verse 14. Made flesh, Jesus Christ. He was an eternal being. He'd been in heaven from everlasting to everlasting. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. If you don't believe truth's important, you study God's word. When you don't believe that the truth of salvation is important, you study God's word. You know, I thought so much. I hear people say, well, it's not necessary to read the Old Testament. But I'll tell you right now, the same truth in the Old Testament is the same truth in the New Testament. There's no difference. And we have over 504 times that the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament. This is the word of God. This is the power of God. He didn't change the directions when he got to the New Testament. You know what the Old Testament did? It proved to you and I how sinful we are, exceedingly sinful we are. He gave man an opportunity to do the right thing, did he not? He said, you can keep the law. You can become righteous. None of them could then and none of them can now. I'm going to tell you right now, if your salvation is left up to you in any form or matter, I'll tell you right now, Jesus Christ would have never had to come. He wouldn't have had to. Why did he come? Because you and I could not obtain righteousness by the keeping of the law. There was nothing that we could do to get right with God. Jesus came. He is the end. Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. He is the end because he fulfilled what you and I couldn't to the jot and to the tittle. I'm going to tell you right now, that is the sovereignty of Almighty God. For she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know, nobody denies that part of it, do they? Do you know any Christian that will tell you that they don't believe that Mary was found with found pregnant as a virgin, that she brought forth a son, and they called his name Jesus? Think about the shalls in the Bible. For she shall bring forth a son. Everybody's on that one, aren't they? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. They all know he did that. For he shall save his people from their sins. Most of them will tell you, well, he didn't get that one done. Unless you make the right choice. Unless you join the right church. Unless you persevere. Unless you do something. You know, in Romans chapter 1, we find that the same age-old problem, and it's not directed to that, but as you get down toward the end of it, it says that the creature wanted to worship the creature more than he did the creator. That's never been any different. It's not today. Man thinks he wants to be in control of his own destination. You know, you heard people say we're all working to get to the same place, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all get there. We'd all be in hell. If it's left up to you and I to do anything to get to heaven, there won't be one soul in heaven. We hear people sing grace. We hear people preach about grace. But most people have no understanding of what grace is. Being justified freely by his grace. Now that isn't something that you can walk by and pick up if you want it. Freely means without cause. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24. Without any cause in you and I, we were justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because one day we'd make the right choice. We were given, there was thousands of years that God's children were given the option to do the right thing, didn't they? They could never do the right thing, and you and I can't do the right thing. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? You are saved eternally by God's grace, and not yourselves. Not a work, lest any man should boast. Now, I told you a while ago, I wanted to look at some things of these truths, but why is it important, really is it important, to know the truth? Read a few verses from Revelations, chapter 4. Then we'll jump back over to 1 Corinthians. In Revelations chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, some people say, what does that mean, they are? Do you know that every time a child of God is born of God's Spirit, he is a new creation? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creature. We've been given a new heart. We've been given an ability to love God, desire God, to follow God. You didn't do something to be born again. You only did something after you were born again. That's the only way it can be. You didn't walk and talk before you were born to your mother. You didn't. You begin to act after you came forth into life here upon the earth. It's no different in a spiritual sense. It's absolutely no difference. It says in the 5th chapter and the 9th verse, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Thou art worthy. The Lord Jesus Christ is worthy. It didn't say he was worthy along with us. He's worthy. He's the only one that's worthy. For thou hast redeemed, for thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I'm going to tell you what. Here's the big problem. When you believe that salvation is in your hands, when you believe you got to do something to be saved, then you lift yourself up on the level of God. Notice over in 1 Corinthians, let's get a few verses there in the first chapter. And hopefully we'll have an understanding as to why truth is so important. Verse 27, but says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. To confound the wise. You know, people think they're wise in their own mind, but God takes the foolishest things of the world to bring them down. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You know, men think they're so mighty, but I tell you, they're nothing in comparison to Almighty God. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now I want you to get that verse there. If you have something to do, if it literally means you have to accept Jesus Christ, if that's what you got to do, then you deserve some praise. You deserve some honor because you done the right thing. There shall no flesh glory in his presence. Not now, not in heaven. We won't be in heaven and say, Lord, I did it right. I done the right thing down there. Pat me on the back. Give me another star in my crown. It won't be that way. We'll bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ and thank him for his everlasting mercy forever. Because that's the only reason we'll be there. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, if you don't understand the tulip doctrine, if you don't understand where you stand before God, how totally depraved you really are, and how unable you are to bring yourself up to a level acceptable with God, you will never see what amazing grace really is. You really won't. You'll never come to that point. If you believe that you can walk a certain way and live a certain way, then you deserve some glory. You deserve some credit. It says here, there shall no flesh glory in his presence. Verse 31 says that according as it is written, brought in from the Old Testament, the truth is just as good in the new as it was the old. Remember when it says that according as it is written, you know that it was written in the Old Testament. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I tell you right now, we don't have any room to boast. We don't have any room to be prideful. I tell you what, we done all the sinning and God done all the saving. That's the way it was. I hear these people say, well, you're standing in the middle. God's over here and Satan's over here and you're your own judge and you got to make the right choice. You got to do the right thing. Bible doesn't teach that. We're told in John chapter 5, and I tell you, there's a lot of theological teachings there. In verse 40, I believe it is, it says, you will not come to me that you might have life. That's what Jesus said. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Was it just those folks, or did that apply to us? I believe that applied to anyone that read that scripture. And you will not come to me that you might have life. So of our own will, we won't come. In the very beginning of John chapter 1, it says that he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, who were born not of blood. Genealogy's thrown out the door there, isn't it? The Jews believed you had to be a natural born Jew. Genealogy's put away. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation upon the earth, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Do you know what that takes care of? Everything. He tells you that if you're a child of God, it had nothing to do with your own will. You're not born because you made the right choice. Some people will say, well, once you're born again, you got to walk the straight and narrow. Well, I tell you what, I've heard people say that I can attest to you, they're not walking the straight and narrow. They'll tell you they believe that, but they're so far from the straight and narrow, they better hope that doctrine is not true. By grace are we saved. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Period. By grace are ye saved. Period. A person says, well, you've got to choose. You're your own judge. I can't get over that. John chapter 6, one of the greatest chapters we know of when it comes to the theology of our eternal salvation. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. Well, if God and Jesus love the entire world, and Jesus himself died for the entire world, why was only a portion of that world, that Adamic world, given to Jesus Christ by the Father? If he loved them like he did the others, why? I mean, you got to understand, God's a God of logic. And some of the stuff that you hear out in the world today doesn't carry the weight of good logic. It doesn't. If he loved everyone and he died for everyone, why was only a portion of them given to the Father? Some of them will say, well, it's because they come. Go to John 6:44, the same chapter. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. Jesus said in John 5, you will not come to me that you might have life. He says in John chapter 6, you cannot come. You have no power and you have no ability. And if you don't believe that truth, then you just outright deny the truth of God. Or you as those that Jesus spoke of who have no eyes to see and no ears to hear. If you've dug deep into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and you have an understanding of eternal salvation, then you know that all the glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? That is what understanding the truth really does. It causes you and I to give all the praise and all the honor and all the glory to God every day for everything that we have in life, not just our eternal salvation. The food that we eat, the children that we have, the friends we have, the air that we breathe, all the credit goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot for one minute stand up and boast about the good things that we've done. We're told by Paul in 2 Timothy, I believe it is, chapter 1, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and has now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought to light, not to life, to light, and immortality, or he brought life and immortality to light. Through the gospel. The gospel declares unto you and I what Jesus has done. It doesn't declare that you and I have to do something to add to it when it comes to our eternal salvation. We're called upon to worship God, to pray, to live an example out in this life. That's what we're called upon to do. We're not called upon to go out and save people because you and I can't eternally save anyone. It's all by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when you understand these truths that you will give the Lord all the credit. You will never give yourself any credit. You will never give another man. It wasn't of your will. It wasn't of the will of another man. It was all of God. And I tell you what, when you see yourself and your exceeding sinfulness, I tell you what, it puts things in a whole different perspective. You will thank God for his amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Can you say that with conviction? Can you sing it with conviction? Grace, 'tis a charming sound. I tell you what, when you sing yourself as who you really are, when you sing that you cannot live up to God's standards in any capacity, when you know that you cannot come to God and God accept you in your own person, it's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteous of God in him. We are made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by our acts. You know, I wish you and I could walk a straight line and never sin again. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. The truth's not in us. By the truth attain it, procure it, and sell it not, surrender it not. Because when you follow the Lord in truth, when you understand that you've done all the sinning and Jesus done all the saving, when you understand that one day when you enter into heaven, it'll be by God's mercy and God's grace alone, all the praise will be given to the Lord. I guarantee you when we go to heaven, and I don't make many guarantees, but I'll assure you when we come together as a family at the end of time, there'll be no one talking about the great things they've done upon the earth and all the works that they performed for the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll all be about the Lord. It'll all be about our Savior. He'll be in our center. We'll worship Him day in and day out for the wondrous things that He's done for you and I. Jesus Christ should be the center of our lives, the focus of our worship. And to understand His truth is important. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man can come to Jesus, the Father, He said, without the help of the Father drawing him. That's the effectual call. And thy people will be willing in the day of thy power. Friends, I want to tell you, we may be dwindling in size, but truth's important. And if you've been blessed to see the truth, you've been set free. If Jesus truly has made you free, you're free indeed, as it says in verse 36. We are. We're told to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. I'm going to tell you, there are many people that don't realize they're walking in a yoke of bondage. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes spent their entire life trying to do things to get to heaven. You know, I think the greatest picture of Christianity is seen in Luke chapter 15, the older brother and the younger brother. You know, the older brother's like a lot of people we have in the churches today. I've stayed home and I've towed the line and I've done it all right. He was a proud brother, wasn't he? I tell you, he used to fill with pride. He didn't know what to do with himself. The younger brother's over here and he's walked out into the wilderness and left home and spent everything his father gave him. But they were both condemned as guilty before the Father. That's how we all are. It took the grace and the mercy and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to get the proud to heaven, to get the murderer to heaven, whoever it was. It's all by God's grace. It's all by Jesus Christ. He is full of grace and He is full of truth. And may God bless us to uphold that truth. The church, the people, we are the pillars of the church. The ground is that rock which we built the church upon, the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to uphold that truth. That's all a pillar's for. It's like a column. And we're not upholding the truth. We're not giving the praise, honor, and glory to God that He deserves. That's where we need to be. And I encourage you to never surrender the truth for anything, because it's valuable. The Lord said it's valuable. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God can't lie. He's a God of truth and without iniquity. It ought to be important to us. And if you've had your eyes open to the understanding of the truth, may God bless you to never forsake it, never surrender it, because some of God's people have. You know, we believe as Primitive Baptists there's a great multitude going to heaven. It's not about what church you attend. It's not about what ritual you went through. It's about the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, of all which he hath given me. I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. You know, I'll close with these verses. John chapter 10. People who hold a different doctrine than we do, I understand where they get some of their verses. I just don't understand what they do with all the other verses. We're told in John chapter 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. That talks about something that is personal. You know, it said in Matthew 1 and 21, for he shall save his people. That's a personal possessive pronoun. And shall save means that is going to happen. And the reason we know that's going to happen is because of the power the one who made the promise is able to deliver. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you don't believe in the eternal security of the saints, then I don't know what you're doing with that verse. You're just completely throwing it out. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father, which is greater than me, he gave them to the Lord, Jesus Christ. My Father, which is greater than all. And I'm going to have to go quote that because I thought I had it down. He says, I and my Father are one. No man's able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. No man's able to pluck them out of the Son's hand. He says, I and my Father are one. But do you know what happened after he done that? They took up stones to stone him. I'm going to tell you right now, there's people out here in the world, when you preach this doctrine today, take up stones to stone you. That's just amazing to me. God saved a great and glorious multitude of people. He chose them in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And I'll assure you, their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and every one of them is going to be in heaven. And it ain't going to just be no 144,000. Those were the first fruits, I believe. That's just a little tiny sampling of what's going to be there. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day when we'll stand in the presence or kneel in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe every eye will be open and every ear will hear, and they'll understand the truth that all the glory goes to the Lamb that was slain. May God bless us to never forsake his truth and never surrender it as long as we live. I thank you this morning for your attention. I pray that God would bless the reading of his word and that it would be a benefit to each and every one of us.